May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It used to be said that it's best to avoid talking about politics, sex, and religion if you want to preserve polite conversation and good relationships. But nowadays, I think the real taboo subject, at least in the Western world, is death. We find it difficult to talk about death, even in church. And if we can't talk about it in church, then where else can we talk about it? Today, as we celebrate All Saints and All Souls, as we remember those who have gone before us in the faith and our own loved ones who have died, it seems appropriate to talk about death. Now, death is not a topic we can approach in a detached way. It will touch raw nerves for many of us. Some people may feel very emotional this morning, but I hope that church is a place where we can be real and honest and shed tears if need be. Let us acknowledge at the beginning that amongst us there will be different experiences of death and bereavement. Some people here have lost loved ones in recent times. Others have lived with the long-term illness of those close to them and know that their death may be near. Some of us here are elderly or face serious illness and know ourselves that our time on earth is short. Others among us may be young and healthy and have not given death very much thought. But death is a reality which all of us have to face, and we can prepare for it with Christian hope and faith. A monk who was the head teacher of a Catholic boys' school was once asked what the school prepared the boys for. He answered, death. A very stark and perhaps very surprising reply. But I think what he meant to convey in his reply was that though those boys might live for another 60, 70, or 80 years, helping them to think about the reality of death was perhaps the best preparation he could offer them for a full, rich, and holy life. How we think about death and how we think about life are related, and I will come back to that later. So what is the Christian view of death? In fact, there can be many different views. Paul described death as the last enemy, while Francis of Assisi talked of brother death. Now, if we are faced with the death of a very elderly relative, then their death may come as a kind of release, and we may really think of it a bit like brother death. On the other hand, when a young person dies, and I think of funerals I've taken of babies, children, and young people in the prime of their lives, death may seem more like the last enemy. Did God originally create human beings to be immortal? One strand of the Bible would answer yes, seeing death as a result of sin and rebellion against God. But of course, for us now, our only experience is that we are finite creatures, just like animals, for whom death is a natural part of our earthly life. Yet, as human beings, we still cry out against death. We cry out against the pain, the loss and separation, the meaninglessness, the end of relationship which death seems to bring. We think, surely there must be more to life than this. The Christian answer is, yes, there is more to life than this. Death is not the end. Not because we have an immortal soul that floats off forever when we die, but because God, who gave us life in the first place, gives us a new resurrected life in Christ. But believing in the resurrection doesn't mean we can pretend that death doesn't really happen, and we don't need to take it too seriously. As is suggested by that curious passage sometimes read at funerals, which says that death is nothing at all, and speaks of our departed just slipping away to the next room. In the words of former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, death really is a descent into dark and nothingness. Death really is an ending. And resurrection matters because God has begun again. Resurrection is a new beginning, a new created life that doesn't belong to us naturally, but which God gives to us. And our faith in the resurrection is based on the resurrection of Christ. What exactly happens when we die, of course, no one can say for sure. The teaching of the New Testament is that when a person dies, they are with the Lord, held in his love. But at the end of time, they will, with us all, be resurrected with a new spiritual body. Everything will be made new. There will be a new heavens and a new earth. And although our spiritual bodies may be different from our present earthly bodies, there will be a real sense of continuity between this life and the life to come. We will still be the same person, but transformed and perfected. So you will still be you, I will still be me, only more so, fulfilling all our potential without our flaws. So what difference does the Christian faith make as we approach our own death or the death of those we love? Certainly, it made a very big difference to many of the saints, to the early Christian martyrs like Polycarp, who faced their brutal deaths with courage and even joy because of their trust in God and their confidence in the new resurrected life in Christ. This may seem very alien to us today, but I can think of people that I know myself, and hopefully you can too, whose faith made a huge difference to the way they approached death. Some years ago, a friend of ours, a young woman, not yet 40, was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. She was given only 3 months to live. She was married with 4 very young children. The way that she and her husband faced what was going to happen, talked to their children about it, and prepared for it together was truly inspiring. They didn't pretend that she would get better, but they faced the future together, honestly, bravely, and with faith. Together, they were able to trust one another to God. Those 3 months were used to say goodbye to friends, to sort out unfinished business, and prepare the children for how they would cope without her. I was so moved and inspired by their example that I prayed that if ever I was to face a similar situation, I would respond similarly. Now, their faith did not mean that they didn't grieve and agonize over the loss and separation that was to come. But they did not grieve as those without hope, as Paul writes to the Thessalonians. And their faith was based not on a detailed program of exactly what would happen after death, which of us really knows that, but on a person. In the end, our confidence and trust is in God as revealed to us in Christ. And if we know God and trust God with our life, then we can trust God with our death as well. But let me balance that story with another. A friend of ours who recently lost her husband spoke up very sharply at a Christian conference that seemed to be speaking too easily and too lightly about the comfort of faith in the face of death. She had found the pain, the struggle and suffering around her husband's death and her own bereavement very difficult. And she was not willing to say that her devout husband had had the good death that Christians are supposed to have. Knowing God's love which she did not immediately make her husband's dying and death easier for him to bear or her to bear. She is confident that ultimately all shall be well, all manner of things shall be well, but that confidence has coexisted with deep pain and struggle. None of us know what lies ahead and how we will cope with it. But we can remind ourselves day by day of God's love for us in Christ. We can look to Jesus and his death and resurrection as the source of hope in the face of our own death, the death of our loved ones, and the suffering, pain, and destruction of the wider world, indeed, the whole creation. In our New Testament reading this morning, Paul prays for the saints at Ephesus. Just before this passage, he has reminded them that God's purposes for them go back to the beginning of time. God redeems them in the present, and God assures them of their future inheritance through the Spirit. God holds our past, our present, and our future in his hands. As Paul prays for the Ephesians, may we too know what is the hope to which he has called us. What are the riches of the glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe? This power is the same power that raised Christ from the dead and gave him dominion over all things. All things were put under his feet, including, as Paul says elsewhere, the last enemy, death. Can we look at life and death against this bigger horizon? We need to look at life and death through the lens of the risen Christ. As one writer puts it, it's Christ's resurrection that enables Christians not to be dominated by the fear of dying and to be honest about death. And yet, to be hopeful for the life after this life. The same God who raised Jesus somehow reaches in, defeats our enemy death, and takes us along as well, making good on his promise. Because I live, you live too. I said at the beginning of this sermon that thinking about death and thinking about life are related. Thinking about death against the wider horizon of the resurrection can help us live our lives now with a greater awareness of what is most important. We are freed from the pressure of having to make our own meaning out of our lives. It is love for God and love for our neighbour that will outlast this life, since this love is what we were created for. So can we spend ourselves now in growing in that love, which will be fulfilled in our resurrected life? And at the same time, pray for patience with the sorrows and imperfections of this present life, trusting God in the midst of them. Let us pray that just as Paul urged the Ephesians, we also might set our hope on Christ and live for the praise of his glory. Now, in the challenges of this life, and as we look ahead to our death and beyond it, to the promise of the new life.